Hello and welcome to episode 21 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Sarah on the Budget. And I am joined tonight by my co-host, a man whose favourite 90s indie band was Shed 7, whose favourite drink is 7-Up, and his favourite Disney movie is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And he also, his favourite Brad Pitt movie is 7. He's the A to Z of Scottish football, and I, for one, think he is close to all of our hearts. It's Russ from Scotland Surveyor. How are you tonight, Russ?
Wow. There's a clear reference to anybody that hasn't got that is based on Dundee United's unfortunate display in European football last week, I'm guessing.
I didn't mention that, did I?
I've got an idea, just straight off the back of that.
Oh, did I give you the idea there for that? I don't know, Russ. I don't know where you got it. Maybe it was all the 7 references, the A to Zs, the 4-1 hearts. Do you know what? I see what I've done there. I apologise wholeheartedly. I did not mean that. That was just, I took it off your Facebook page, just seeing your things that you liked, and I thought I better post that, you know, give a wee bit of background information. So I apologise for misleading you, perhaps. But I mean, if you want to talk about it, how was the game last Thursday?
Well, I think before we do it, I honestly think we're through. I think that A View from the Dugout, I think next week you'll be recording, and I think you could probably do the show A View from the Loo, based on your Facebook activity, and I'll do Fitba while walking the dug out.
Oh, there we go. Sounds good.
Two separate shows next week.
Sounds good, folks. Well, this is it. 20 made it to 21. Apparently he's not willing to talk about last week's demolition in the Netherlands. However, we did see one, you know, sleepy supporter, and we did see Lauren Shanklin both firing us to glory at the weekend, Russ. So that was always good. When we've talked about that before, when the opposition score against you, and you could be secretly happy these days because you've got their Surrey card. So it's not all doom and gloom, although it may appear to be.
It was a tough Thursday night.
No, it wasn't.
You know, anybody that obviously watches. Watchers there, Eredivisie, and certainly the guys that are all playing Surrey, they'll know that AZ were a good team. And I was under no illusions. Obviously, being at the match, the home leg, we played pretty well and they played under par. And I would say one of the things that we got from the team was maximum effort. And I'm not here to slate professional footballers in relation to effort while they were in the away leg. But they totally upped their game. We were totally off our game. Every calamity that could happen did kind of happen. And it just was a horror night. As a fan, there was obviously lots of guys paid a lot of money to go over there, which was probably quite hurtful for them. We then obviously followed that up with a 4-1 pounding from sort of the in-form Heart of Midlothian, who should go great guns this year. It was a pretty tricky couple of days, to be fair.
To come back from the Netherlands and go to Tynecastle was going to be harsh. Yeah. And that was why I captained every Hearts player I could. Every team had a captained Hearts player. And a couple of them played pish, quite frankly. Of all the games to come back on a Sunday, off the back of that defeat, that would have been a real tough one.
Well, do you know what? Just obviously I have them, as any of the listeners by now know, I've got quite a few United players in my gallery, both in rare format and limited format. And obviously I picked up, got a few super rares, but I picked up Aziz Behic, obviously. So he's obviously the left back, and I picked him up, and he had a really good score for winning the penalty on Sunday against
Hearts. Penalty? There was never a penalty in a billion years either.
I'll take that every day of the week because obviously he scored previously on the AZ match was like almost single figures, which we never like to see a red circle, do we?
No. But do you know? Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't lie. But I did. I was graceful enough not to message you. I tweeted about 50 different things because there was a lot of things that were going on in Dundee pages and there was a lot of laughter. But I was graceful enough on neither of those games that I message you and gloat because I did think it was quite funny. But I know the pain because, trust me, we've got beat from you boys 6-2 on two separate occasions. We've taken 7 off of Airdrie United in my time. We've taken 4 off of Clyde. We've taken, you know, we've taken Hyden. So, and we almost got embarrassed a wee bit. We outplayed Arbroath of all teams at the weekend. But I had the fear. After laughing so much about 7-0, I was like, oh shit, we're going to lose 7-0 here at Arbroath or something, eh? So,
yeah,
but no,
I was mindful of that. So was I.
I wouldn't have been recorded tonight if we'd have lost that one. But no, it was, yeah, very, very different fortunes for the two sides. However, you know, I think there'll be, I'd imagine, probably changes for United, hopefully for the weekend, but we could probably come to that in the Scottish news, perhaps.
Yeah, I think we will. I think one of the key things, just as a pointer, obviously that's your Motherwell and Dundee United cards now definitely lost their midweek, albeit that was short midweek utility. But yeah, that's them both lost their utility.
Yeah,
you do, if you are sitting with Rangers, Celtic and Hearts cards in your gallery, you do have the guarantee of a level of midweek utility. So yeah, two of the five out and the coefficient obviously will slow a little bit. And now obviously Rangers have got a tricky away tie next week to determine where they're going to land.
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky one. And like you say, I mean, there are still quite a lot of cards there. I mean, I've got Hearts boys in my rare lineup this week. I've got two players in there, just hoping to try and hit the lower eighth. I don't have a playing goalkeeper in midweek in my rare team, but I'm happy enough just to give it a go. So I actually bought a cheap Argentine midfielder just to field the team. But yeah, I thought that'll be good. So you're suggesting there's no usage of a Tupperware Totti card in the upcoming game weeks then. So that's good. Well, we'll move on from that. So some big news coming out today, Russ. It's kind of thrown the podcast format a little bit. It seems to always be the case that Wednesday night or Wednesday afternoon seems to be a time for good news. But before we get to all the news, let's look at our game weeks first and foremost. I had the higher ETH and nothing else. I had some really good performances, but I'll come to them in a moment. But you had a rather fruitful week again, I believe.
Yeah, it wasn't looking absolutely, it wasn't looking too promising on Sunday, but I still had obviously quite a lot of players to play. The gallery, as you guys all know, is still undergoing renovation. Still
good choice
to get of players.
Words. Hmm? Good choice. Yeah, no. Great choice of words.
I know. It's undergoing renovation at the moment. So, yeah, trying to basically upgrade the team quite significantly, trying to reduce the numbers, which yeah. I think last week, was it 90 rares?
I think I'm down
10. Got a couple of new players in that I'm really, really happy with. And I've got a couple of players out that, in truth, they were probably longer term holds, but I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to free up the equity, get a bit of liquidity.
Yep.
And start to move with it. So I sat on Friday morning and put the teams in, and I was actually genuinely looking and thinking, do you know what, these are actually quite strong. The one team that in particular I was very happy with was my Champion Europe. Now, Champion Europe, as we know, you've got your Madrids, your Barca's, your AC's, Juve's, Bayern's in there, and it's, you know, it's a tough ask to get to the very top of it. Now, I sat on Saturday fourth in the Limited Legends Challenge. I was sitting fourth on the entire leaderboard, and I had a couple of messages from a couple of the guys that follow the pod, going, have you looked? And I went, no. And I went and looked, and I am fourth. And I was very hopeful. And I'm sitting, obviously, with Hewlett and Van Basten, Zanetti in the team, and two what I thought were quite wise picks. So I'm looking at that, thinking, yeah, that's quite hopeful. Should probably get a card there. And I'm looking at my other limited teams, again, you know, my All-Stars got Callum McGregor in there, Suzuki in there from Shimizu. I'm looking very hopeful. Reds, I'm thinking, right, what's my red rares looking like? And then I noticed that Almada didn't play. So that was me immediately a man down. Now, he's played every game this season for Rosario, and it was Lautaro Blanco that was previously getting dropped. For some reason, Almada didn't play, and then Cifuentes, my midfielder, follows up with a 1-2-5 score. And I'm thinking, God, you know, I've now got 1-2-5 from two. I'm sitting there going slightly disappointed, but still hopeful of cards. And then I'm looking at my Champion Europe team, and Charles Aranguiz at Leverkusen, who's on an awful lot of set pieces. And I looked at him just the other day, and he's still under £100. This guy is a Rolls Royce of a player. He's actually a cracking footballer. So I'm looking for him. He's also got international utility. And he rattles in a 77 for me. And my keeper, who hasn't been the greatest, but Rafael Gicewicz scored a 74. So I'm sitting 150 points after two played. And I'm thinking, oh, I've got three guys that all play, still to play. Double checked injury reports, etc. And up steps Mario Rue of Napoli, who I brought in just last week, and he scored the 78. So all of a sudden, I'm up to 220 points. I'm still sitting though, and I'm looking at league table, and it's like no projection. So there's no projection on my team. I'm then endlessly looking over at my challenger team, and I'm, you know, sitting looking at 110 from Zobnin and 108 from Shankland, and it's scraping a tier three, and I'm thinking, surely I'm not just going to get one card. However, lo and behold, Dakenham, the captain at Getafe, scored a solid 50, and I was left with Wanmi. So by this point, I'm going into the very last game of the game week in the European.
On Monday night.
I checked Premier Sports, which has got fantastic La Liga coverage, and all three games were on Premier Sports, one after each other, no nonsense in between. It was just game, game, game. So I finished up the Valencia game, which obviously incidentally had Carlos Soler in, and I hadn't realised. And it's like, oh, the next game is Betis. And I'm thinking, well, I've got Wanmi playing. Wanmi was, I think, the third top scorer in La Liga last year. And sure enough, he delivered, and did he not half? He ended up getting me 105 points, and my Monday, in effect, was worth over 200 points to me. And I surged up to, very briefly overnight, I was sitting about 70th, but after the opt-down rating and things, I ended up just shy of 390 points and got myself a tier two rare.
Happy days. And I believe that might have been a Brazilian defender, was it?
It was Gabriel Calista of Valencia, who has incidentally already left the club and been replaced.
Do you know what? This is the thing. When people look at the rewards and they go, oh, it's a total shit card, or, oh, well, that's not who I wanted. It's actually not that bad, because like you've done there, you've taken the time and went and sold a card for whatever you got for it, and then you've reinvested that into a card that's actually worthwhile for you. So, it's impressive to get those, and mine's was just purely higher ethos, and there was nothing beyond that. I had some cracking scores. I'm looking at them just now, and just the base scores without percentages on them. You know, I've got like 90s, I've got 87s, 83s.
Who were your top five performers this week?
Top five of my cards that I owned at the time. It has increased significantly with some new signings. But Gregory Withrich, centre back at Sturm Graz, he got 86.9. Lawrence Shankland, of all people, 83.4, goal and an assist against some awful team in Tangerine. Really bad, Russ. I don't know if you've ever seen them. Samuel Sahin Radlinger, after how he performed at the end of last season, do you remember he cost me about three cards in a row, like back to back performances where I lost like 60 points? Well, he saved a penalty and had a 79.9 performance. Philip Menzel, Klagenfurt, goalkeeper, 72.3. And then Matthias Braunoder, he rebounded from his own goal to get an assist, 71.6. And yeah, I've got another couple of 70s just to round it off, just to keep it above the 70s. Kevin Van Veen, 70.1. And where's the other one just gone? Oh, yeah, Jörg Siebenhandel, another goalkeeper, 70.1. And that was from Sturm Graz as well. So there were some seriously good performers in there. But I sat and took stock of things, Russ. And it's something that we're going to touch on a little bit when we come to Serie A. But looking at the points tallies for some of the leagues, I seen obviously Challenger Europe Limited, the scores you were needing were astronomical to get a card. It really was astronomical to try and get a card in there. So I had a wee look and I thought, do you know what? I'm not going to play America. I'm not going to play champion. I'm not going to play Challenger Europe. I'm just going to play specialist, underdog, all-star and under-23s. I like the under-23s. The rewards are pretty decent in it. It's going to be a slog to get there. So I thought I need to reinforce that. And I've gone on another spell where I've went and started selling some cards. But I did pick up, Russ, and these will be two names that may not be familiar to you. Newly promoted side in Austria Lustendau, I think that's pronounced. Brian Teixeira, he has played four games so far this season for his new club, and he has a 72 average. He's under 23. 80, 54, 65 and 90 are his scores. I picked up his limited card. I paid a hefty price, sum for it. I paid 83 quid for it. But he has been selling for almost 200. Somebody bought one for. They're listed about, I think, about 150, 160 quid just now. So he's one. And I've also picked up his teammate as well, Stefano Surdanovic, who used to play for Admira in Austria as well. Again, he's got his new cards are midfielders. His old cards are forwards. So I've now got two forwards, one who has a last five of 66 and one who has a last five of 72 sitting in the lineup now. So I'm hopeful that the lads can kick on. And if they don't, it's maybe time to properly readdress the strategy. I might go back to two rare teams. I don't know. I might just go with one rare team, sack the rest of it off.
I was about to say, here's a question on everyone's lips, every listener's lips. Will those two players still be at your club on Monday?
Well, it's a good question. Do you know what, Russ? I actually said, see if somebody comes along and pays the 200 quid that I've got Brian Teixeira listed for. He's gone. So making £120 profit on a limited card is ludicrous, really. That's the equivalent, you know, if you're taking what, maybe say six, seven times it should be maybe the rare prices, maybe 10 for some cards. You know, making the better part of 150% profit on a card of any description is good value. So depends on what comes in, Russ. Depends entirely what comes in. But no, I could foresee those two certainly staying there for now anyway. But I picked up a couple of other cards. I got a couple of questions why I was picking up some Dundee cards, but we're top of the league. So, I mean, it's only two games gone. Three games gone. I'm probably jumping the gun, but Josh Mulligan won't beat us for much longer with his performances. So picked one of his cards up. So Red Cross, train it for a year and then start using it, hopefully. So that was basically my game week in a nutshell. Not great, but higher ETH, and it allowed me to go and buy Josh Mulligan. So,
no, as long as you're happy. Do you know what I mean? Happy. It's like the wee red cross, that reminds me, the Debenhams not used to do like a Blue Cross sale.
Blue Cross. I was offered the Blue Cross player earlier on in a trade. I wasn't interested. I wasn't looking for a trade, but I was offered the Blue Cross player, which was interesting. But no, I've got two players there. I've got Cammy Kerr. I've got him. I'm also looking for a Zach Rudden. If anybody has a Zach Rudden rare card, drop me in DM. His recent sales have been 0.01, so that's a mighty 16 quid. I will round that the whole crisp £20 note for something. I'm a generous guy, Russ. Generous guy. Apparently, I'm a penny pincher, and so are you. And neither of us know hee-haw about football. I'm buying Red Cross players. What am I doing, eh? So we'll move on a wee bit just onto some of the news that's come out. Obviously, one of the big things today, well, we'll touch on that first, Russ, before we kind of go into the full flow into the Surreyor news. Surreyor data. I got to my school run for, first day of the school's back here in the local area. And, certainly in the Fife area. And it was on my tweets, and Surreyor Data are now launching memberships. Now, this is something I've said on podcasts, videos, just general chat between us. I could never understand why that was a free resource in the first place. From what you got from it, I could never understand it being free. And I think we both said, you actually organised a little, not so much a fundraiser, I suppose, but you know, people sending ETH to the donations account.
It's about, do you know what, it was about 10 months ago I did I'd been using it a lot. We'd both been using it a lot. And I thought, do you know what, I couldn't see how these guys were making any money other than the Cedars funding round, which they'd had. I didn't know the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I don't know if there's commercial partnerships or anything like that with them, but I just thought, do you know what, it's a good tool. I've been using it, and I put a tweet up, and I think they got quite a lot, I'm not saying they got loads and loads of money, but I think they got quite a lot of people just donated just a little something to them.
So
I think the news, and it's like everything else, that news has popped out today, and there'll be people go, oh, I'm not paying for that. Well, that's fine. That means that you'll be doing an awful lot more research yourself, and you'll be busy on SofaScore and Transfer Market and trying to scrape together things left, right and centre. However, I looked at I don't know if you had a chance to look at the, kind of like the membership levels that they've got.
Yeah, I've got that on my screen, Russ. I took a wee cheeky screenshot of it, and I had a nosy at it.
You love a nosy.
I love a nosy. So for the basic rookie one, so you're still getting free. There's rookie, pro and star. There's going to be a legendary one as well. But just now, the rookie one is still going to give you the gaming aspect of it. So you'll get game stats, rankings, notifications. Scouting, you'll still be able to look at transaction history and averages and floors, player scoring history, team roster and basic stats and basic scouting tools. Now, what those are, I know that they are going to be doing a video tomorrow which, well, actually today as the podcast drops, worth having a look at the Surreyor data site and have a look at that. And management, you can see your gallery overview, evaluation, rewards history, the same kind of basic information there. But it does jump up quite a lot, you know, with everything you get. Pro, you get all that plus leadership, leaderboard details in the gaming bit, gaps from and to rewards, and premium lineup building tools. Scouting-wise, transaction details, unlimited price alerts, premium scouting tools. It doesn't actually say what those premium scouting tools are, Russ. I don't know quite what that might entail. Custom display settings, community and social features. And then the higher one is the star one. And that gives you everything plus. This is one I thought was maybe a wee bit out of place. But I've seen it on, you know, when you go to set your lineups, you know, for the World League, Russ. I don't know if you've seen it, but it gives you a little bit that actually shows you the betting lines against the teams. It's just got odds, basically. It's decimal-based odds, but it shows you that. So you get advanced betting odds, advanced lineup setting, lineup building tools, unlimited presets and watch lists, player and team detailed stats, which could be interesting, stacks and injuries, and also a little bit about card utility. So you are getting options for free trials of those and things like that. And to be honest, I'm astonished it's taken this long for them to do it. I really am. I think it's long overdue. For what they've provided the community for over 2 years. Yeah. I'm astonished that it's taken this long to, you know, to change it to a paid option. And I think even at the €9.99 level for the star one, we talked about it before when we talked about Patreons, Russ, and we said, you know, that's an investment in you, your portfolio. And, you know, you wouldn't go and just buy stocks unless you were a maniac. Or you knew a lot about it and you were a tedious tweed wearer. But that's different. So, you know, if you were doing the same here, this is, it's investing in your gallery and your, you know, your money, basically. So why wouldn't you? You know, if you were, you would go to a financial advisor for information. And guess what? He's going to charge you for his information. Forbes do different things, but you have to pay a subscription, an annual one, things like that. So I am well behind it. You know, and I seen one tweet, Russ. Can I read you this one just quickly before I throw it back?
You can, because then I was going to ask you about your, what your plans are yourself around it and any impact that you think it will have on you negatively or positively.
It won't have any impact on me negatively because other than me paying out probably €9.99 a month or the annual one, depending on how the finances are. At the minute, it probably would just be going on a monthly basis. But that would be my plan. I'll do the little trial bit just to see exactly what you're getting in it. But to be honest, it's take my money. You've deserved it. You've earned it. You've helped me earn, you know, as we've talked about, over $5,000 withdrawn. And I couldn't have done that without Surreyor data. And I use it constantly. So it's an invaluable resource. But there was one scrotal bag who replied to the post about it from Surreyor data that said, "What are you laughing at?"
Just your descriptors.
Well, I mean, he is a scrotal bag. I mean, if you see his face, it looks even worse. It looks like a hairy scrotal bag. Anyway, it says, and his reply to this was, "With the global crisis, you have to help users and not add to them other costs. This is a senseless choice." So my retweet of that said, "Shit take of the day, maybe even the year." And I left it at that. That's just ludicrous, absolutely yeah. Ludicrous to come away with nonsense like that. But yeah, if anything, if there's enhanced features, all the better. All the better. What about you, Russ? What are you thinking around it?
It's not my main resource. And that's maybe just because the amount of time I've got to watch lots of football, which I know is just more free time because of personal circumstances than you at the moment. So I know you've got the time where you can sit with a lappy open or your phone open in between jobs, but then you've got the wee one. And, yeah. You know, I know babies take up a tremendous amount of time. So your chances of actually getting to sit and watch game after game, et cetera, like me, are completely different. So for me, my main resource still is watching my games, and I probably use on a 50-50 basis, if I'm being honest, Transfermarkt and Surreyor data. Surreyor data more for me is a double check of their Opta scores and basically just looking at sort of price variations as opposed to the actual player info, which I'm lucky enough just obviously managed to retain most of that in my head from transfer market. So yeah, the one outtake, and I raised it tonight in the World League admins, because one of the things that appears to be in the paid is the leaderboards for the leagues, which is in the gaming section. I think you
Yeah, I've seen
mentioned, I
that.
think you read
Yeah, I've
that
seen it,
out. I've had a response. I'll not read it because I don't, out of respect to Dazza, who has responded. I don't know if it's like he's wanting to put it out in the public domain or not, but he has. They've obviously they have seen that, and it's probably the one, you know, the absolute. It's been a bit of a. I'll probably describe it as it's been a bit of a shame for Dazza and Bob, who've, you know, they've went and done all this, and I know they have had a lot of good support from Surreyor Data and integrating the limiteds and things, which is fantastic. But ultimately, boys are wanting to know where they are in the league, and we're away to be on week three of the leagues. And I'll be honest, you know, I'm an admin for League 10, and I have no idea if I won my first match, because
Yeah.
obviously I don't know if you know, the substitutes were classed as replacements, and I got the scores. I was leading the second match, but again, I just don't know where I am in the league. And the thing that we risk with that, because it's a great concept and it really has brought, you know, 100 guys into a little bit of competitive fun action. But if we get to week four or week five, where boys don't have a clue where they are in the league, boys will lose interest.
Yeah.
And that is the reality of it. So I would hate to see all the hard work that Dazza and you know, watched their video. Bob and Dazza and Quinny were on a wee video, and I watched it and had a look and stuff, and those guys, you know, they've done a good job in that, so I applaud that. And you know, fair play, because it is an element of content creation for the community.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's fun. It is. I mean, it's setting your lineups in there. I've never set the lineups in it, and I actually went and I've now been setting them, you know, just for the Surreyor Data leagues themselves, not even the private ones, because I've never done it. I'm still sitting, but I don't think I've completed the amateur season to get into anywhere or to do anything else. You know what I mean? Because I always forgot about it, and we talked about that last week, maybe the week before, and we talked about, you know, just the various apps, you know, and you can't you. It's so much to keep track of sometimes, but. Yeah, I totally get where you're coming from on that. That's obviously maybe like a side issue or what have you, but that I'd guess most of the guys who are participating in that will probably be subscribers.
I would think so. I
Yeah.
would think so. And if not, then it'll maybe be a, it could maybe be perhaps, and I'm not looking to put ideas or words in obviously the guy's mouth, but it might be a prerequisite of joining the league.
Yeah, moving
And that would be
forward.
something that obviously these guys have got a good relationship with the lads at Surreyor Data, and the fact that they've managed to get the limiteds in the game. Because you know, I do play the weekly SD leagues, and I have been probably for about a year when I remember, which is about 70% of the time, and that's rare only.
Yeah,
You know, it's
it is.
rare squads. So yeah, fair play. I know that obviously that'll be maybe one of the things that comes out of it. I just thought I would mention it just to try and be current and on the ball.
Oh yeah,
But in the
absolutely.
main, the guys at Surreyor Data, they've created a fantastic tool, and they definitely deserve to be rewarded in monetization, given, you know, and you know, being as open as we can. You know, we've obviously spoke about maybe doing something at a later stage that's really high level content when we've got a bit more time. But
Yeah.
there are other content creators out there that are charging money for stuff that, let's be honest and truth, and you know, each to their own, but it's nowhere near at the level of Surreyor Data, which really is elite.
I think you would be hard pushed to find any content creator that's given the amount of information Surreyor Data has. I don't think there is any. I don't think there is one.
100% agree.
So I think it being paid, I think it's personally, I'm surprised it was ever free, just with what's on it. I use it constantly, as I said. I mean, it's on my phone all the time. I've got one tab open with it, one tab with Mr. Air open on it, and you know, I'll flick between things. I'll check scores. It's how, you know, you initially find some of the cards and things like that. So yeah, no, I'm wholeheartedly on board, and I wish them all the best with it. And hopefully we will see maybe a wee bit more information tomorrow, or today, sorry, Thursday, as to what the launch information is. So we'll see what that comes about. Looking at other partnerships and other things that have obviously happened just through Surreyor themselves, and there's been a couple of things. I'll touch on the new league first of all. Obviously, today being Wednesday, and there was the launch of, I believe, was it Rosenborg from Norway? So
It
that's
was
now
indeed.
opened up the Norwegian league. So that now opens up European Challenger Europe, I believe. summer champion. I think I just said European twice there, like an absolute numpty. So, yep. But it opens up summer football, and I think you know, if Sweden was to follow that sort of thing as well, can open it up further. They obviously renewed their deal with Belgium, and that's seen the new 2022 cards come out in Belgium. I don't know if you've got your eye on any of those, or are you being wise like me and maybe looking at the 2021s with good percentages on them, Russ?
I won't be paying, you know, very often the premium that is attached, certainly not in the auctions, because the auctions are still, with the new cards, they're still going, you know, 20, 25% more than the secondary market. Yep. As you know, like you, I like a bargain. I put my training teams in every week, religiously, twice a week. You'll notice that if Andy's to go and glance in my gallery, there are probably most of the cards. There are very few managers that have got higher percentages in training than I do. You'll notice that, for instance, you know, Lauren Shankland, I'm open to selling him at the moment. It's just not quite 100% part of where I'm going with my gallery. There is nobody has a higher percentage in the card. First and foremost, he's the number one issue. So I had the first one. He's been training since week one. But you're getting, I think it's 11% on that card. And that's a massive, massive bonus when you're, you know, when he's scoring 75 points and you're getting that extra 8-9 points, and then you go and captain them after it on top. Yeah, it can be quite a
100%.
Quite a sort of definer in the league scoring. And that is, it's funny you mentioned that, actually, Chris, because we mentioned league scoring just a wee bit earlier, and just the slightly diverse. Obviously, we're looking at these Austrian cards and Norwegian cards coming out that will have the automatic, you know, extra percentage, but it's becoming more and more important going by the scoring in the leagues to win things.
Yeah, that was a big thing at the weekend. It's obviously been a bone of contention across the community, and I could totally get where they're coming from. I scored in Challenger Europe Limited. I had Marcus Pink had four big missed chances and really humped me because I had a 75 and a 93 and what have you in there, but it really screwed the pitch. But I scored 291.81 points, Russ, and I was 75 points off getting the lowest end of the tier threes. So that shows you kind of where you have to be at. To get a tier two, I'd needed to score 391 to get to a tier two. That's massive scores. That really is massive scores. And it's going to continue to be that way. Whilst, you know, there's obviously a lot more cards, there's a lot more users. Everybody knew that was going to be the case as the game went. What might need to actually happen is having a look at the prize pools, probably first and foremost, and actually being, you know, a percentage amount of the number of entries, as opposed to this three-weekly or two-weekly predefined number of rewards that's going to be in place. You know, if you're saying 300 rewards, but there's 6,000 people entered, that's, you know, that's not ideal and not encouraging people to do it. And it actually led to me disbanding in two teams and starting to sell through them because it just wasn't, you know, I look at it and I go, do you know what? I need a clean sheet and I need four decisives from individually, you know, and it's a lot to ask. And when you've got money invested in it and you're getting zero return on it, it does make you think like twice, where you're just like, will I just scrap this one? Well, scrap that one. And you don't want users having that feeling where you want, you know, you want people to be happy and enjoying it. And yeah, there's aspects of those teams I do enjoy because it's teams that I like or players that I like. But it's when you're not winning anything, it's kind of like, well, I'm wasting my investment here. Do you know what I mean? I could use that more wisely elsewhere, or I could take it out. And that'd be the last thing Sarah really want, is somebody, you know, just being like, well, do you know what? I'm just going to sack it all together and take my money out. You know,
I think that's a really good point. As you know, one of the things that we did mention pre-show obviously was the fact that I told you that I was, as well as obviously trying to cut my rares down by sort of 20 or 30 over the next few weeks in total to really get some sort of selected high quality targets in, I did look at the limited, and when I dropped from fourth in that legend, I didn't even finish in the top 300. And I was like, wow. And I was absolutely astonished just at how quickly I fell. Yeah. And I looked and thought, do you know what? I had Hulett, Van Basten and Zanetti, and it was the best part between the three of maybe about 0.1. And I'm looking, and there's there was an under 23 midfielder that I've had my eyes on. I've had a limited card for quite some time, and I thought, I can sack all three of them in a competition that if you don't, you've got Hulet, Van Basten, and Zanetti, and you're not even getting near the prizes. And everybody's just managed to. I think the first couple of times they ran it, loads of guys went in with one legend, and then it was obviously two or three guys, really, really smart, went in, got themselves either two or three legends, got the top score, because the way that the legends work is you get the top scoring from the position that the guy plays from the team. So I think Van Basten, for example, was Rebic at the weekend for Milan. So, of course, when that first came out, the guys that had three legends in their team automatically were like about 60, 70 points better off than most of the players. Yeah. However, everybody's doing it now. And I went and I actually had a quick check, and everybody's got three legends. So it's based now based on your other two players. So if you've not heavily invested or you don't get lucky, then yeah, you've got no chance in that. So like I mentioned, I had 60 yellow limited cards. And I looked at it and thought to myself, do you know what? No, I'm going to bring that down to 30. I will run with my Dundee United team, which will be my fun element. Mm-hmm. However, I actually, even just off the back of that, looked at it and thought, well, maybe I should just look and maybe even reduce my Dundee United rares, which I'm now starting to consider doing. So again, it's like everything else. Everybody has this running, ongoing battle. I was speaking to a lad from Ireland, Macker, last night on Zoom, and again, just gallery rejigging and things. And again, we were talking things like percentages, new cards.
Yeah,
we've got another league now to keep an eye on, and the fact that players obviously transferring into the Norwegian league, start scoring. So there'll be guys like watching that like a hawk, say on things like Transfer Market, latest transfers and stuff, all of a sudden somebody joins, whether it's Rosenborg or some of the other clubs there. But yeah, it expands it. But like you say, we need now to see an expansion in prize pool.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't...
Right across the board.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be massively. I mean, you could obviously be looking at, it's been mentioned countless times, like the DMP cards aren't in there, for example. And it could be a card, we've talked about it before, where, a player's had a knee injury. You had the lad last year, what was his name? The Nicolo Daly, was it?
Nicolo Daly, yeah.
Yeah. Going great guns in the preseason, tears his knee and he's done for the year. Yeah. But that's a card you could hold on to and wait for the return of and things like that, and Kevin Nisbet, another example, fine well, he's going to come back after Christmas and he's going to get, especially with the service he could have at Hibs, he could get a whole bunch of goals in the second half of the season. Yeah. And, that card's not available as a reward because he's a DMP. So it's little things like that that could maybe look at that. I had the thing I mentioned a few weeks ago in terms of, they say that 10% of the prize pool are going to win on every one. But they don't have to increase monetary value. They could set aside, I'm just going to pick a figure. It's miles out. But say, right, we've got 10 grand worth of rewards for this division and 10% of people are going to win it. The high-end guys are still going to get the high prizes, but then it'll dwindle down as it goes down. And to be honest, a lot of the low-end tier three limiteds are pennies anyway, but it's still nice to win something. So I get it from that aspect. One other knock-on effect I have seen, Russ, and this has been in the last couple of weeks, probably since Europe returned, and this has been, I fear that this is the FIFA element of FUT users that have come over to the platform and the instant need to win. Because you lose on FIFA, you just press quit and you go back into another game, hoping you find some poor sap you can give a hiding to. And Sarare's not like that. It's not going to happen that way. You can't reset mid-match and hope that, United don't concede another six in the second half or whatever. But it's a different platform. And what I have noticed is, as soon as those games are done, if a player has scored 35, 40 points, his price is plummeting by like 25, 30%. And I'm not just talking, your cheap-end players. I'm looking at, Anto Grigic has had two 40 games, two scores in the 40s. His last 15 is still 60-something. And his price has gone from being about 60 quid to scraping 35, 40 quid for two bad results or two bad scores. Do you know what I mean? It's not reflective. And it seems to be an instant gratification thing. And people are then banging up cards and devaluing their gallery. you wouldn't do it with me. You used the example the other week. If you had a brand new PS5 and you started losing on it and you sold it, you wouldn't go and sell it for half the price you paid for it.
No.
Or the half the going rate for it even. Do you know what I mean? You would get as close to the value as you can. Why would you instantly go, he's done badly, I'm discarding him and getting done? It's stupid. And it's a weird element. And you see more and more tweets and things like that from some people that are very clearly, you know, fuck users,
yeah.
You know, ultimate team users for those that aren't with it. But the ultimate team users that are basically like, oh, you should be able to discard the cards and get a small return back off them. Fuck off. I'm sorry. Just fuck off. Go play your computer game. Leave it to the big boys, eh? So that was my meager opinion on that situation, Russ. But I don't know if you've noticed anything price-wise. My gallery, I've not noticed a huge amount. I've noticed ETH go down because the ETH valuation went up. Guess what? We talked about it loads of times. It's exactly what happens, eh? So.
Yeah, just I've not really. I've not even had a look at the Norwegian cards, to be honest. Yeah, obviously I'm aware of some of the names and things, etc. But I've not looked at the prices. Here's one off the cuff for you.
Oh.
So favorite, or you tell you what, we'll go back in time. One of our key dual loves. International tenants fives, tenants sixes. Give me six Norwegians, your favourite. Doesn't have to be now.
Six? You think I can name
six Norwegians that you would put in your weak team?
Haaland. He's Norwegian, right?
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Just one. Can it be?
Any? It can be all, just all time. Yeah. Just
okay.
One.
Let's go.
Six favourite Norwegians.
I'm just going to pull out names that I can remember. Jan Åge Fjørtoft.
Oh,
he's Norwegian, wasn't
he's
he?
He's in my team.
Is he? Well, I'm pulling him up. He could play. He could pull double duty. Harald Brattbakk of Celtic.
We're getting the Celtic lads on.
Yeah,
you better get the other lot on.
I'm going to go Tore Andrew Flo just to get the Rangers boys on side. Yes, so I've got both sides of the Old Firm there. Pedersen, the boy Morten Pedersen, Morten Gams Pedersen,
Blackburn.
Blackburn, and Dundee had a lad called, was it Jean Arne Larsen or something like that. There was a boy that we signed, Larson and Sutton.
This guy called Glenn Attle Larson.
Glenn Attle Larson. There we go. There we go. Yes.
I remember him.
Dreadful. Dreadful. But yes, there we go. I'll chuck him in. There you go. There's six.
Is that your team? Is it?
I can't think of any other ones.
I'll just go just for nostalgia. I had Fjørtoft. I was just thinking of Norwegians and very briefly just scribbled down some names. And obviously, he was one of my very first fantasy football league signings as a striker. I loved Fjørtoft. He's incidentally a agent now, and he tweets quite a lot. I think he represents quite a lot of sort of high level players and stuff and things. He's got quite an interesting Twitter following. Jean Arne Riise.
Good shout.
So I'll get a left back, and I'll get another left back. I'll get Christian Calvanis because he was at United. So I'm going to play down the left. And I'll get another one, Erik Pedersen at United. So I'm playing fully down the left. I've got a left back, a left mid, and a left winger. They're all left backs, though. It's fine. It's like Scotland in our national team. And here's one for a couple of loyal listeners, and they know who they are. Harald Stavrum from Aberdeen.
Harald Stavrum? I mean, do you know what?
He played 25 years ago. How scary is that?
Mate, this is completely an aside, but I listened to a Dundee podcast, Up With The Bonnets podcast, and they had a special episode where they did an interview with Jockey Scott, and it was fantastic because it went right from the start of his career right the way through at the end of his career. And some of the stuff that he was talking about was obviously when he was at Aberdeen, and he was co-manager at Aberdeen with Alex Smith. And I didn't actually, because I was eight when it happened, when Aberdeen last won the cup, the Scottish Cup. And he was in charge of the team at that point. And he was talking about Hans Heelhuis and Theo Snelders. It's all these players that, you know, you look at it now and you're like, man, that was 1990 when they won the cup. And it's like, that makes you feel old when you look back at things like that sometimes. Eh? But that's completely as an aside. And even as a United fan, Russ, I think you'd actually appreciate it just because of the history stuff of it.
Do you know what? I always remember we had a guy, again, totally off, and I've not spoken to him for probably about 30 years. And he was a striker guy that played boys club football with us. And he was just one of these absolute goals machines. And every time he scored, he shouted, "Heel House." He thought he was Heel House. However, my friend Nizzy, who probably will not be listening, he had bright ginger hair, and he certainly didn't look like Mr. Hans Heel House. But yeah, no, he would often shout Heel House when he would score, and I would occasionally respond with my occasional goal shouting Sturrock, you know. So there we go. So there was some.
I suspect Weaselmont still does that when he gets a green score.
Oh yeah,
Heel House, yes,
Heel House, yeah. So there we go. So they're Norwegians, new Austrian cards. Anything else that you've got on this rare news as we come?
Fabrizio Romano has come on board, mm-hmm. and he did a video. I don't know if you've actually watched it yet, Russ. But
I did. Yes.
Giving away all the secrets of sneaky wee under the under the radar transfers moving into the Belgian league. I've seen
scouting one year. As
has
well.
To be said, he is a poor man, Scott Burns. For our Scottish listeners. He is a poor man, Scott Burns. He does break old Scottish news, which is always good. But yeah, I think that, again, it's more exposure because everybody's seen Romano's tweets. You know, if Romano doesn't report it, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. It's generally the way of things. I don't know how he has all his information, but, well, he does. And obviously, you mentioned it last week, or I think we maybe mentioned it, we didn't mention it on the pod, obviously, the branding on Transfer Market, a little bit of... A promotion that way as well. So lots of little things like that that are good for the brand, a bit of exposure. But as we just mentioned as well, the things within the platform, perhaps maybe that could be tightened up, you know, as you say, with the rewards and just how that works, really. I think that's probably...
I think you're right. I think it's good exposure for the platform. Lots of sort of positive and sort of really strong voices out there, or strong sites and associate partners now.
Yeah.
Mentioning the brand, obviously we've seen it obviously on the at the stadiums and things as well, quite a bit on the advertising boards and things. I guess if you are listening to this, and perhaps you may be listening to this as your first episode, and you're not actually playing Serie A, you're just listening to try and get some information and tips, then flip a coin and heads sign up via Chris. Tails sign up via, there's a shameless plug, tails sign up via Scotland Serie A. But no, do you know what? In truth, fingers crossed it brings lots of new people to the platform, and fingers crossed that results in an increase to the prize pool, which would then benefit the guys that have been putting a lot of hard work into researching the galleries.
100%. Speaking of research and galleries and things, Russ, will we move swiftly on to the Scottish news? We could obviously do a little bit of a review like we did last week, looking at the last weekend's fixtures. I'm going to make you go through the pain of it again, just for a laugh, really, more than anything. The scorelines last week, I'll run from the top to the bottom and guess where your result is, Russ. So the first one was the basement battle at the time, and that was St Mirren, Ross County, and St Mirren took a 1-0 win, which... It's pretty solid for them. Richard Tate with the goal in that one. So that moved them off the bottom of the league. So it looks like it's between Ross County and Dundee United in the relegation battle there. Livingston defeated Hibs 2-1 in a Lothian battle. And that was Joel Newbley with yet another goal. So that's two goals in three games for the big man, who had scored zero in his previous 16 outings before this season. But he certainly came on to a game. So that was an interesting one there. Couple of players we recommended, Russ, Sean Kelly and Jason Holt were both assisting those two goals for Livingston there. Aberdeen Motherwell played out a shootout. It was Aberdeen 2, Motherwell 3. Sorry, Weaselmont. But Motherwell, the winner, Kevin Van Veen, Russ. Big Kevin Van Veen.
Bargain prices.
And then there was two demolitions, Rangers 4-0 over St Johnston and Kilmarnock. I don't know, did you watch the game, Russ, the Kilmarnock game?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was worse than the Alkmaar game, honestly. Kilmarnock were dreadful. Keeper was poor. There was a lot of raving about Jota's long-range effort. It went through the keeper's hands. It was really poor. I actually don't see him being in the goal this weekend. 5-0 Celtic won. And then the final game, as we've previously mentioned, it took Lauren Shankland all of 40 seconds to get the goal against United. And it finished 4-1. And it leaves grim reading for three teams, United and Kilmarnock on 1 point, Ross County on zero. And then you've got the Old Firm, the only 100% record, Celtic Rangers, both on 9 points, Russ. So looking forward to the weekend. Big game, first one up, Hibs Rangers. I think that's the television one. So that's the one on Sky on Saturday afternoon. Your boys are at home to St Mirren. How do you feel?
Big game, yeah.
Big. I mean, at this point, four weeks into the season, do you see your ASOS Ancelotti being under threat, or are you still confident it'll come good?
I don't have any worries about the over the course of the season, to be perfectly honest with you. But what I would like to see is a slight change of personnel. I'd like to see a few other players given opportunity.
Would you like to see them go back to the three centre halves, or?
Do you know what? I'm not 100% sure yet. Obviously, Jack Ross isn't long in the job. I like elements of what I feel he's trying to do or what he's trying to achieve. On paper, I can't moan. I look at the signings we've made and, you know, I'm looking and going, you know, if you'd offered me those five or six players before Envy kicked the ball, this is your incoming signings, including guys like Levitt and Middleton and things, I think they're good, exciting young signings.
Yeah.
But the reality is, obviously, the league table doesn't lie. It is very early days. We've had the elation of Europe and then the absolute devastation of Europe. So one win with 1-0, but then obviously followed up. We've got a lot of experience in the team. We've got a lot of guys that, in my opinion, aren't playing to their full ability at the moment. I'd like to see a couple other guys that have been on the bench. I think, we've been playing Middleton. Attacking-wise, we've got Middleton, Watt and Fletcher that have all been playing. And other than Fletcher obviously getting his penalty and Middleton's goal in Europe, albeit he is a new signing, we've not had an awful lot of goals. Maybe not for the lack of effort, but the reality is that we need goals. You've got Nicky Clark kicking his heels a wee bit on the bench. He's scored the most goals probably over the last three seasons alongside Shankland, obviously in a longer period of time. But I'd like to see him get a kick of the ball. I think I'd like to see Cujo getting a wee bit more of a sort of longer sort of run in the team as well. I think he's quite exciting. We blooded young Mikkelsen to an extent last year along with Mochrie. Mochrie's gone out and loan to Dunfermline, but I'd like to see Mikkelsen get some time. I think Ross Graham hasn't done too much wrong to... You know, he's kind of found himself a wee bit part at the start of the season, and he was a bit of a mainstay last year. And I was, the many times that I did see him play in the flesh, I thought he was really good, and I thought he'd come on leaps and bounds. There's a few guys that aren't playing as well as they could or should. I'd like to see some changes. I think, like you say, based on last week's results, I didn't really see Livingston beating Hibs was a wee bit of an unexpected one. I didn't, in all honesty, think that we would beat Hearts. I kind of had my fears before it, with it being away from home. I didn't see the Aberdeen result coming, obviously given how well they'd started, which obviously was purely to rip up my predictions. I didn't see Aberdeen getting beat from Motherwell. Good to see goal machine Kevin Van Veen scoring, obviously for yourself. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting week again. I'm going to actually just on that point, I'm going to put the predicted lineups up on Play Sharper for the Scottish League. I'm going to get the first drafts done tonight for hopefully all the teams between now and bedtime. Obviously, this will be Thursday when you hear this, so obviously it's Wednesday night here at the moment. But yeah, that's kind of my take on Scottish things. Only, I don't know if you've seen a few of the sort of Scottish news bits.
Not a whole heck of a lot. There was a couple of transfers, but nothing that really kind of stuck out too much to me, if I'm being honest.
I've just got four pieces of kind of news that sort of affect it. So St Johnstone signed Daniel Phillips. There's no card for him yet, but obviously when the Scottish release comes, you would think that he'll be, and he could be quite a find as a midfielder that could come in quite a value purchase. Motherwell re-signed Stuart McKinstry from Leeds on loan. Yeah. Again, I would like to think that he's probably high enough profile to get a card. I don't think he'll start this weekend, but I would expect him to be on the bench, and I think he might get quite a bit of game time. They've not got the biggest of squads, and they've been quite injury ravaged as well, Motherwell, as you know. You spotted Scott Allen, the deal had gone through.
Yeah, he went to Arbroath, who played extraordinarily well last season, but this season they're sitting rock bottom of the league. But it's one of those things. But Scott Allen's went to Arbroath. That's the championship in Scotland, not covered by Sarere. So he'll continue to have his Red Cross. Perhaps a surprise that he's gone there, but obviously he did have health issues last season that was quite well documented. So that whether that's shied some teams away, we've obviously had a conversation. He has played for a number of clubs for short periods of time and what have you. But if you needed somebody to put a pristine pass through for an opportunity, he was one of the boys that could pull out a pass from anywhere. But yeah, it's not been particularly busy with only a couple of weeks to finish the transfer window, Russ. But there's obviously one thing that, you know, free transfers could still happen after the window, and there's still a lot of players that, you know, haven't picked up clubs and things like that. So we'll see where that goes. Have you any players to watch this week, Russ? I've picked out three.
No, I don't. The only thing that I do have of note, and I tweeted it just before it came on the pod, was that Max Strijek, who I've honestly had about 100 questions from on Twitter, and I stopped answering. I was like, you know what? You could do a 2-second search of the Scotland Serie tweets and find that I've answered it 100 times. We said on this podcast a number of times, we're on episode 4, that Strijek had no future at Livingston. And then they signed Shamal George, as we know, as number one. And we re-emphasised that, I think, in episode 16 and 17. However, he has almost joined Wycombe Wanderers, who have been looking for a keeper. Now, he probably will go in there straight as the number one, I would suspect. But they are in the third tier of English football. Now, they are a yo-yo team, so he may, they may well come up. I think they've started quite well. I noticed that they scored a few goals and things. But yeah, he is a goalkeeper that is heading for a Red Cross, I'm 99% sure of. So that's the last bit I've got. I don't have any players this week, so I'll let you track on before we finish.
I've only got three anyway, to be honest. But no, just as a quick one, yeah, I tweeted that earlier in the day as well and pointed out the fact that we'd said that since April. That'll be one. Hopefully we could put that one to bed. I've only got three. I picked out ones that were all threshold players. They actually happen to be defenders as well. So if you've got a gap to fill with your defenders or your extra cards, all these are the last five of over 50 and all of them are under 60 quid. So first one, I briefly mentioned a moment ago, Sean Kelly, Livingston, Russ. They're away to Motherwell this week. So Motherwell have been shipping goals, but they're also scoring a few. But he's played all 270 minutes so far this season. He had an assist last week. His price on the market at the minute, well, when I checked it earlier, was 60 quid, 0.04. However, the recent sales have been between 35 and 40 quid. So that might just be, you know, the last before the, you know, the game week starts in the day or so. But his last five is 52. The next one, Russ, I think you've mentioned him before, Joe Shaughnessy of St Mirren. They're away to Dundee United this week, who have obviously been feckless when it comes to scoring goals. Played all 270 minutes, clean sheet last week. His market price in his recent sales are about the same, 50 quid, Russ. 0.0325 was the market price at that time. Last five are 50. And this is one that's actually in your domain, Russ. And that was Dmitry Skopintsev,
yep,
fullback, Dynamo Moscow. They're at home to Spartak Moscow, I believe. He started all five games this season, clean sheet last week. Market price is 60 quid, and it's around the same for the recent sales. Last five of 51, fairly consistent. And with next weekend being game week 300 and the new matrix, fullbacks are going to have a wee bit of a benefit from that. I should have noted as well, I had it written down and I didn't say it, Sean Kelly actually plays midfield, but he has a defender card. So, if they have the benefit of having a clean sheet, he's going to get the extra points for that. And he's probably not going to be penalised as much for losing the ball, being, you know, playing in centre mid. So that was what I had on that, Russ. Have you got anything else for this evening?
No, just a very quick point on your man, Skopintsev. I've bought and sold that man probably about 10 times. Probably I would say nine of the times for profit. He's actually kind of started to cement that position at Dynamo this year. Prior to that, he was one of these sort of under 23 cards, because I think he's about 24 now, 25, maybe just turned. And he was one of these cards that just would play really, really well for a couple of weeks and then he wouldn't play, or he would score like 26, 30 points. But he's stepped up a level. This year. So yeah, good pickup, good budget sort of price as well, still with him. So yeah, fair play.
Not bad for over 50s for the last fives either, Russ. And I picked up ones that were purely, you know, have all played as much of the game time as they could. I think he averaged 82 minutes for the games. So, but I don't have anything else to add this week other than thank you all for listening to the podcast. Russ mentioned a wee bit there about tossing a coin to see which who you sign up from. Hopefully, by the weekend or the start of next week, we'll have an exclusive link that'll be for the podcast that'll benefit both of us, won't it, Russ? So hopefully we'll have that in place by then. And but thank you very much for listening and making it all the way to end of episode 21. If Russ's threat at the beginning of the podcast was, you know, this could be the last podcast if I keep going on about 7-0s and 4-1s, but let's see what St Mirren can do on Saturday. And with that, I will call it good night, I suppose, Russ. Take care, guys. We will speak to you all again next week.